Thank you. I'd rather have Jesus now in my soul than to own this world with its riches untold. For this life will vanish, it fades and it's gone. Oh, Bobby and Jesus, somewhere I'll live on. I would rather have Jesus down in my soul than to own this world with its riches untold. For this life,
for his word is more precious than diamonds.
up for this world. Oh, I won't give him up for this world. Oh, I won't give him up for this world. For his word is more precious than diamonds or pearls. And I won't give him up for this world. Oh, and I won't give him up for this world. Oh, I won't give him up for this world. For his word is more precious than diamonds or pearls. And I won't give him up for this world.
For this world, oh yes, and I won't give him up for this world. I won't. being here tonight. Yes. Isn't it a great place to be in? Is there any other place you'd rather be in the city of Little Rock tonight? I don't think so. Here's where we have life, where we can get a closer walk with the Lord, learn more about Him. On this, as Brother Smith was saying today, we are blessed to be in a nation that at least acknowledges two different holidays. One, the birth of our Savior, and then this one, the death, burial, and resurrection. But I it's a privilege to come to a place, though, here today, where I can know more about that and not just about what most religion might talk about that. You know, that, you know, Christ came, He died for our sins, and that's good to go. We've got our ticket to heaven. But we have a stronger vision than that today, don't we? And I want to appreciate that. I was talking with my children, my family today. Chelsea and I were trying to, you know, give a little bit. You get those fun questions, you know, like, so what about the Easter eggs? What about the bunnies, you know? And, you know, that's, well, okay, well, let's see. All right. So, and, you know, you want to break that down. And you don't, there's a lot to break down there. There's a lot to try to go through. Well, meanwhile, 6,000 years ago, kids. And then, you know, you start trying to go into it. Next thing you know, you're talking about 2 hours. And they're just like, so when do I get a chocolate bunny? You know, it's all about the chocolate bunny, okay? I'm, you know, well, you know, I need the Lord, but where's my chocolate bunny? But, you know, yeah. Go to Walmart and get them on sale for 99 cents, right? Tomorrow, that's when we want to buy them, not today anyway, okay? Ah, 50 cents tomorrow, see, that's got to be, and then you give that other 50 cents to the Lord. See, it all works out. But we know it's not all about chocolate bunnies and finding eggs, but it's about getting a closer walk with Him. It's about getting to know our Lord more intimately every single day. It's that understanding of that He did die for the remission of our sins, but there's a much bigger purpose in mind there that God had, and that is to restore us to that which Christ, He didn't do away with. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden and that sin took us away from that relationship that they had with God. I was born into this world, and I didn't have the opportunity that they had. Now, thankfully, since Christ came and died on that cross, and that shedding of that blood, that white blood that we know about, we now have that opportunity to receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The very Spirit of God in our lives. And that's what I want to lift up my hands today and say, thank you, Lord, for that vision. Thank you for that opportunity. I understand that as I accept Christ as my Savior, and I know here tonight we're going to have a baptismal service, a wonderful opportunity to be able to come to a place and have a good understanding of that. And we can go on into that about baptisms, about what that's really, what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus, what that's about. But what I was saying here as far as to have that understanding about the sweet Holy Ghost, to know that I'm not just here and just, thankful to be here and, you know, I've got my ticket to heaven, it's punched already. But I understand because of the teachings that we've been given that it's a process, that there's more to it, that whenever, what I was going to say, I lost my track and my train got back on. Thank the Lord. That it's a process, but that whenever I accept God, when I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, that's just a start. I've just been, if you will, conceived in the nature of God at that time, but I am not born again yet. That there's that process that I need to submit to baptism. I need to say, God, as an outward profession of, Lord, I want you as my Savior. I want to go through that image of that death, burial, and resurrection right there. But I'm not done then. I'm still not done. No. Now I've come up, and now, Lord, I want to seek for the Holy Ghost with all my heart. I want to ask, seek, and knock. Isn't that right, Brother Weinger? I want to be like that widow woman that kept knocking at that door, that judge. Hey, I need that Holy Ghost. Hey, I need that Holy Ghost. And we know that God is a just Father and that Christ wants us to have that Spirit indwelling in us. But it's just, He wants to also know, do I really want it? He's already offering it, but I have to open up my arms. I have to reach out to Him and say, Lord, more than anything, I want to be your child. I want you to be obligated to me that come that day that I would pass away, that I will come back. I will get an opportunity for a resurrection to finish this course. And once again, that's just a little bit more of those building blocks in the vision of the body of Christ. I was thinking about this, you guys know me well enough that my mind goes off, in the Bible. As Brother Smith downstairs, I asked what I thought was a simple question, but, really quickly it turns into, well, I got to go this way over here to go back to here to get your question answered. I understand that. I'm not saying anything against Brother Smith. I'm just saying that's the way the Bible really works. The Bible, it's one big, huge picture. And you might ask about the puzzle piece over here, but it somehow is going to relate to the puzzle piece that's over here. And thankfully, though, we get to come to a place where we have a lot of those pieces. And what our ministry is doing is that we're asking and we're searching. We're looking around the house saying, I know those other puzzle pieces are here somewhere. We need to find them, because isn't it going to be awesome when we have that great puzzle piece, when God totally restores the church and we have that sevenfold light and we see the true white throne judgment? Won't that be a glorious day? Isn't that our vision today? I want to keep that at the forefront. I want to always have that appreciation for where I am right now, for being a part of this assembly. I need to first understand that. What's my part to play in this assembly? And if I'm doing my part in this assembly, then I am taking a part in the body of Christ, because this assembly is a part of the body, and it has a part to play in the greater picture. And so if I'm doing my part, whether it be being faithful here in attendance, whether it be in my tithing, whether it be in cleaning the church, whatever it would be, I'm a part of the body of Christ by that right there. Now, I know that it's not all about the cleaning of the church and just being here, but those are rudimentary. I would, it's all a part of it. It's all a part of it. I was talking with, we were both talking earlier just in the car about with the kids about even within a service, about how to truly take a part of that service. About singing the songs, I used the Pledge of Allegiance for an example. I figured I'd get them on this one. I knew that I didn't know if they even did it anymore in schools, quite frankly. But thankfully, I did find out. Hey, you know what? At least in their school, they say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and they even do the national anthem. I was really blown away by that one. But I asked Hannah to recite it. Boom, she went right through it. And then I said, "What does it mean?" And she went, "Yeah,
I don't know, Daddy."
And she said, "It means God's invisible." And I was like, "God's invisible. Oh, indivisible. Okay, well, babe." And then I had to explain, that actually doesn't relate to God right there. That's about our nation being indivisible. But, invisible under God. That makes sense to me, right? But I started explaining, what does that mean? Every morning when you say that pledge, what are you really doing? You're just speaking something they have no idea. All right, well, when I'm here in service and I'm singing those songs of glory, and I'm trying to worship the Lord, am I really doing that? And that's why I was looking at my own self, but I was trying to talk to them more about it, as far as, when I just went through that band number, raising my hands to you, overwhelmed with gratitude. Think about this. Raising my hands to you, overwhelmed with gratitude. Wow. Okay, so see, that wasn't really... I'm sorry. I can sing a little better than that. Don't laugh at me, Sister Inez. But, it's not for every time. I know when we're singing that song, we don't have to sing the song like this, raising our hands to you. That's a bit much. But it's in the heart. It's an understanding of, I am raising my hands to you. I'm lifting them up in worship to you, Lord. Overwhelmed with gratitude. Why? Because He's given me a vision of the body of Jesus Christ for what He is doing in the earth today. Not thousands of years from now, or not what He did back in the early church. I have an understanding of that. But today, I can read that all day long. It's not necessarily going to help me unless I try to apply that to my life. What I'm saying, though, today, Lord, today is the day of my salvation. I'm not promised tomorrow, and yesterday is gone. What am I doing today? So when I come to service, if I'm singing that song, raising my hands to you, overwhelmed with gratitude for the chance you've given me to live what? A life of praise to you. What's that about? A life of praise. That doesn't mean that everywhere I go walk into waste management, well, praise the Lord, I'm a waste management. You know, it doesn't mean to literally saying praises to Him, but my life should be a manifestation of Christ. When you see me, one day, that's my hope. I know that's all of our hopes. One day we can say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In my nature, in the way I handle situations, in the way I talk to people, in the way that I deal with my brothers and sisters and those that are out there. That's, and I'm not trying to preach off that song, but I was just trying to give them an example of when I'm in church and I'm singing those songs, I want to sing them with conviction, Sister Pryor. I want to sing them understanding those words. You know, whenever I even with the scriptures, and it's a wonderful part about maturity, is as we, you know, years ago in school when I would get up during the month to say our monthly scripture passage, how many times did I ever quote Proverbs 3, 1 through 14, or 1 Corinthians 13? It became, you know, it was like no big deal. But I was no different than my children in my understanding of, you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand, blah, 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 blah. Might as well have been what I was saying, right? But as I've grown in the Lord and gotten more mature, when I start saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all my ways I should acknowledge Him, and He will direct my paths. Then when I start coming across those times of difficulty in my life, when I don't have answers, when I don't understand which direction to go, I could say, I have to trust in You with all my heart and lean not into mine own understanding, but I have this to lean on today. I have His Word, where we know that David said he had never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Now there's a qualifier right there. He said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I need to have an understanding of what qualifies that for righteousness' sake. Am I walking in that? Am I in Christ today? Am I walking in His stead, or am I going into my own? And I know, once again, I know I'm going on many tracks here, but it all makes sense up here, right? Brother Smith, not too long while back, he was, I can't remember how he explained, he mentioned iniquity. And more and more, it's clicked more so in my mind about basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically just, if you're doing your own will, whatever is contrary to God is iniquity. It's that simple, but it never really clicked, but really, if it's that simple, if it's contrary to the will of God, then it's iniquitous. And I was thinking about that even in getting into yourself of, I want to consider God in all things. You know, even in my daily walk with Him, Paul relates in Hebrews when he talks about the four major doctrines, he said, and if God permit, we'll go on into this. Okay, well, in my own walk with Him, as Brother Brett Weiniger has mentioned before, when we have that light in front of us, it's a step in front of us. You know, it's not one of them big 1,000 candle lights that's like, woohoo, look, I can see all the way to Glory Land. It's just right in front of us. And so with that being said, I was thinking about, Lord, even in relation to my own walk with You, what are You dealing with me on today? What is the next step that I need to take? My mind, I might go off in the wild blue yonder and start thinking, well, here's what I need to be doing. When God's not over there, God's right here. God's trying to lead me a certain way, but because I'm getting off into my own spirit, my own religious spirit, and if I get with others, then I might build into that spirit of Satan, all because I'm not seeking really what He wants. So I'm just relaying to you what's been going on in my mind as far as I want to be in His will, don't you? I want to know when my God talks, I don't want Him to have to yell at me, "Hey, you deaf boy." I want to be able to be quiet and hear that still, small voice when He's saying, "Go this way." I was thinking about that when Brother Smith... See, I'm going to put a plug like he does. If you miss Bible study, let me tell you, you are missing the cream of the crop right there, okay? We get to hear the wonderful Word of God in a different setting that's inviting, that we can ask questions in. It is a wonderful opportunity. And I wanted to let you know, I appreciate those Bible studies, Brother Smith. But he was talking about, and I didn't grow up on a farm, all right? I'm a city boy. I realize that. I'm okay with that, okay? So just, I don't do the chickens and cows things, all right? I do the Starbucks thing. So he was talking about horses today and being, I don't even know the right terminology. Well, kicking against the pricks, but I mean, what, the harness? Yeah, everything they're saying. The single tree harness, right? Okay, because we all understand that. Okay, but something in relation to if a horse, when you hook it up to that, there's basically like we'll call them pricks that are at the side that if they kick against it, it's going to hurt them. And I was thinking about, you've also related before though about your grandfather, I guess, who would say like G and haw. I remember these things. I file them away. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna figure out where that fits. But I want to be in the Lord's hands. All He needs to say is G or haul. He don't even have to hardly tug on those reins with me, but I want to be that sensitive to His Spirit that no matter what direction He wants, I'm ever ready for the Master to just give me that slight touch. And whatever way He's touched, that's the direction I'm going now. If he has to pull back on the reins a little bit, I want to be able to stop. Have you ever had... I'm not saying my children necessarily like this, but there have maybe been occasions. Have you ever had a child when you say stop or you're trying to hold on to them and for whatever reason their Adamic nature is not agreeing with you right then and they're wanting to continue on whatever path they're on and then you get that, "I said stop"? I don't want the Lord to have to do that with me. I want to be sensitive to His Spirit. I want to be able to be moved upon. I want to be able to be a willing vessel in His hands. So I just wanted to give that. Those are some of my thoughts today. I really appreciated Brother Smith's message this morning. You know, he's right. It wasn't a typical message. He could have got up here and turned to any one of the Gospels and went through the story of how Christ was crucified, risen on the third day, and He's at the right hand of God now, and we're all happy and woohoo. But you know, there's more to it than that. And I want to, like I said before, have an understanding of how blessed that I am to get that. Every day when I go to my house, I'm going to go on the natural standpoint here, I don't ever really, I'll be honest, I don't go into my apartment and think, "God, I'm so blessed. I've got food in my refrigerator. There's clothes in the closet. You know, the air conditioning works, the lights are on. Hallelujah, Lord!" But are those not blessings? Let me ask you this. If we went into the house and the food was gone and there wasn't any electricity, does a lot having electricity bother anyone here? Okay, do you still go into the room and flick the light and go, "Why isn't it working?" Even though the electricity might have been off for 5 hours, you still click because you're like, you know, you're conditioned. When I do this, the thing, magic light comes on. That's supposed to happen, right? It happened to us recently. And, I'm thinking, did I pay the electric bill? I know I paid the electric bill. I'm going over my mind. I'm thinking, what's going on? Why is it out? It's not raining. There's no reason for my lights to be off. Because why? Well, because I wanted light. You know, because I'm used to being able to do that. It's a modern convenience. It's something that spoiled us, quite frankly. You know, I'm just saying, okay, y'all take for what it will. I'm confessing it spoiled me. But the thing is, those are blessings, those conveniences. Well, do I not have so much more in the spiritual? Do I not have so much more in knowing about the body of Christ? In having an understanding of the sweet, precious Holy Ghost? In understanding about the white throne judgment, what's to come, where our part is today to play? being a part of a ministry that's seeking for the truth. Hey, you know what? One of the things that we understand in the psychological world, and not we, I'm not a psychologist. Anyway, I'm just saying, if you don't know you have a problem, you'll never get that problem fixed. We know. God has blessed us with the understanding of we know that we don't know. But because we know that, we can study to learn and find out. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I want to lift him up for those things. I don't want to forget where I've been. I don't want to forget. I don't want to be the one who, I think the Bible says, is basically looking in the mirror and seeing, and then they walk away and they immediately forget what they were like. I have turned away from this before. And that was many years ago now. But if you've ever, human nature, if you've ever hit a path before, it's much easier to hit that path again. So I want to every day lift up my hand and say, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for continually saving me. Thank you, Lord, for one day I know if I will just continue on and be steadfast and take each step toward Him, I will ultimately be saved. What a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. Not just for saying its sake, but to have an understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. To want to have Him as our true head. To understand where Christ belongs in the picture. And that He's not at the bottom, but that He's at the top of that. And that if I just will keep my eyes on Him, as the ministry follows Him and I follow the ministry, then I will one day attain to that. I'm not looking for second place, okay? I'm not looking to be just a new earth dweller to have that second resurrection. I don't know, call it crazy. I'm not looking to be beat with a rod of my iron. How about you? I'm just asking. I would rather submit my life today. What are you asking today, Lord? What are you asking me today? How can I submit a little bit more today? How can I get a little bit closer to you today? If it means getting up and confessing my heart, then so be it. If it means getting up and embarrassing myself singing, so be it. And I'll pray for you all for more charity. If it means talking to my children and trying to put a love for the body of Christ in their hearts, if it means trying to tell them that the Holy Ghost is so important in their life, if they don't have it, and my children are seeking it, to seek it with all their heart. To not stop knocking on that door until they finally receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it's life. It's the very earnest of our inheritance. And I don't want to take it for granted in my life, because we even have a vision in that. It's not just an added gift, an added benefit. It is integral to our salvation. With that Holy Ghost, we will be led into more truth. So I just want to say that I feel privileged today to be able to get up here and stand up before the children of the Lord and say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to voice my heart. Thank you for lifting your hands up with me. Thank you for lifting up my family. And I want to do the same for y'all. And, you know, service is open, right, guys? We don't have a set routine with how to do things. If we have a song, if we have a testimony, if someone has a ministering in their heart, we have liberty in the house of the Lord today. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Take your liberty. You have that opportunity. There are closed houses and prisons in religion today. You are not in a prison today. You are free, and what God has made free is free indeed. So take your liberty today.
It's been a little while since I stood up and did this. I decided it was time to tell, to give my testimony for what the Lord's done for me the last 8-9 months. A lot of people know I've went through a pretty life-altering situation. And through that, I found my way back. And, of course, I should have never left. But I went through a lot trying to find the Lord, trying to find out where I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to get there. And you have to be very patient to find a lot of that. But I was, working a lot of hours, a lot of stress, a lot of stuff building up. The Lord has he gave me a new job here recently, something that, I've tried to look for before. There's always doors that shut, and out of nowhere, a few months ago, just all these jobs started popping up, and people were coming up and telling me about this place or that place, and I was led to a position from a friend that I haven't talked to in several years. Out of nowhere, he just called me up and asked me to come work for him. He got bumped up to management. He got bumped up into management for some reason, and he wanted to hire someone he knew. And I hadn't talked to him in 2 or 3 years. And for some reason, I was the first person that crossed his mind. And it's everything would go so smooth, and then all the paperwork and everything would stop. And then I had actually quit my old job, and after I had put in my 2-week notice. There was an issue with the HR department for this place I was going. And it turned out that right when all that happened, I had my son for spring break. So I was able to actually spend spring break with my son. And as soon as all that was over, everything just clicked right into place, and I started the job that next Monday. And, where I was at, working, we got paid, twice a month. I was working about 130 to 160 hours in 2.5 weeks. And now I get to go to work and play around for 80 hours every 2 weeks, with, incredible benefits and insurance and stuff that the other place it just didn't have. And, when all the pressure was building up, I asked the Lord, this is what I would like to have. This is what I would need, this is the money I'd have to make. And these are what I would like to have. And this job is actually everything I asked for. The Lord showed me things, the little things have happened, here and there, and I haven't stood up and testified about it. That's put a lot of weight on me. I feel that I've been holding back, not letting, everybody know what's going on, the wonders and amazing things that have gone in my life. I kind of sit back quietly and then regret it. So I wanted to stand up and I wanted to, thank the Lord publicly and, lift my hands and praise Him and tell everybody how much I love everyone and appreciate them for putting up with me. And thank God.
Of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like Him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. Oh, I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit blend.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, Brother Fisher is wanting Hannah to know what she's talking about when she, what was it? She was reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Know what she was pledging allegiance to, what it meant. Well, you know, I think it's important. Water baptism is important, but it's also important to understand. Because if you serve God very long, there's going to be some people probably that are going to talk to you about your baptism. Hang around the kingdom of God long enough, different people, you'll have people that'll want to know if you were baptized in Jesus' name or if you was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And there's some people just don't believe you've been baptized if you haven't been baptized. If somebody didn't say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, And then there's others that don't believe you've been baptized if you don't say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But the actual truth of the Word of God is that the Bible doesn't tell you to say anything. It's not saying anything that does it. It's being. You have to be. You have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, if you want to look at a couple of scriptures in Matthew 28:19, I can tell you when I came to the body of Christ, I was just getting this vision, and one of the things that I didn't understand was water baptism. But one of the things that I did understand is that they said, you need to be baptized again in this body. And I didn't know if I believed that or not. I thought, well, I've been baptized. I've got the Holy Ghost. God, I know I'm God's child. But they said, but I also knew something else. I knew that this was the greatest thing that I had ever found on earth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that this body of people had something that I had never felt, seen, or heard of anywhere else. So I said, well, I don't know if this is necessary or not, but just in case it is, I'm going to get baptized. I thought, this, I can settle this. You know, if y'all think I need to be baptized, I'll just go ahead and get baptized. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm doing this in good faith. I just want to make sure. And if it's not necessary, there's nothing wrong with me getting wet again. And if it is necessary, I want to do it. And I'll be honest with you, I got baptized. I didn't understand water baptism. Even though I was already a preacher, I understood that water baptism was biblical. I understood that sprinkling wasn't good enough. I realized that baptism, you know, I had come up in Pentecost, so I had heard Bible lessons on that baptism means to bury, and that in the Bible they went down in the water and they were buried in the water. They weren't just sprinkled. Some man come up with that later. Sprinkling little babies and sprinkling a little water on your forehead, there's not near as much humility in that as, in fact, I could get a little jar of water here tonight and sprinkle every one of you on your head, and you could wipe it off with a dish rag and, or a little washcloth, and you wouldn't, you know, there, it'd just be a little ritual to go through. But, and I do believe this. I believe people are sincere in their hearts, and they've been taught that, and they believe, and God honors their faith in Him. He doesn't honor the error of believing a lie, believing something's wrong, but God sees the earnest. He sees the intent of our heart, and God honors that. He knows, you know, God will touch you no matter where you're at if He can. And I quote that scripture quite often in Isaiah, where He says that He gives a drink of water in the wilderness. Where's that at? Let's find that right quick. Some of you brethren help me. Maybe I think it's in Isaiah. Yeah, to give drink to my people, He says. No, I'm wanting in Isaiah, where He's talking about there's water. Even among the owls and the dragons, something to that extent. Let me see if we can find it here. 43. Yes. 43. We'll start in 19. Says, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall appear now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So you might be under a dragon power. You may be in a wilderness condition in religion. Or we're the owls. That's birds of the night. There's places out here that are in darkness concerning the truth of God's word. But the Lord, He'll cause rivers to run in those places, not because He's necessarily honoring the place, but He's trying to keep His people alive. He's giving them a drink of the Spirit. So if you go out here and you wonder, well, how I know this place is Babylon, but I feel God here. Let me tell you something. He skippeth on the hills and leapeth on the mountains. He'll visit everywhere He can visit to save everyone that He can. And so, like I said this morning, in Bible study, he starts out in a primitive way if it takes it to reach people. But he don't want it to stay that way. He's developing. He's forming us. He's working on us. But in Matthew 28:19, before Jesus went back to heaven after he rose again, he told his disciples, let's start in the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Here he's telling his disciples. He said, I'm commissioning you. One place he said, even as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And he's telling them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. He didn't say what the name was. They knew what the name was. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Those are titles. Those are not names. He wasn't telling them, when you baptize somebody, say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the Holy Ghost. So, if you'll look in Acts now, the second chapter of Acts, because here, if that's what Jesus wanted them to do, Peter would not have made a grave mistake. In the second chapter of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, you remember what happened, such a commotion of the 120 receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and all those people coming out and listening and hearing and seeing this with their own eyes and hearing it with their own ears, the people speaking in tongues in their languages, the wonderful works of God, and it pricked their hearts so that they asked Peter. He got up and preached a message. Verse 33, he said, therefore, being by the right hand of God, talking about Jesus resurrected, the resurrected Christ, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. And verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, or in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. Now, he wasn't really referring so much to his name, Jesus, as he was referring to the authority that he had. I'm not here under my, you know, with my own name. In fact, there's a scripture in John. Look in John 5. There's a scripture there that he's talking to them. In verse 43, he said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Now, let me tell you something. What I'm talking to you about right now, there ain't one out of a million Christians could ever even know this truth. It's just not something that is revealed yet to the Christian world. They're still baptizing out there, millions of them, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, not even having a clue what it means. Not having a clue that they never mentioned the name. They're just mentioning titles. And then there's others that locked in on what Peter did. And the scripture where it said there's no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. The oneness people got a truth on the name. They didn't get all the truth. They just realized that baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost was titles. And that Jesus came in his Father's name. But they locked in on saying it. You got to say it. I've heard men's testimonies out there that say, you know, somebody would say, he didn't say Jesus Christ. I said, put him down again. Say it right. You know, so they'd say, I got baptized again because I wanted it done right. Well, what does it mean, Hannah, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's it mean to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Peter and Jesus was saying the same thing. The name, not names, the name. And Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. Here he said, I've come in my Father's name and you received me not. In other words, God sent me here. I bear his name. I'm his son. I have authority to be here. That's why, you know, my wife is the only woman in this room that's got authority to be running around town signing checks in my name. She's the only one that can use my name legally with authority. She could just say, I've got my husband's name. That's how I'm doing what I'm doing. That's how I sign checks. That's how I sign legal documents. I took his name. I have his authority. He gave me that name. Jesus was given his Father's name and authority. And he said that. I come in my Father's name. He said, but you won't receive me. If another will come in his own name, him will you receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the Father that cometh from God? Seek not the honor that cometh from God only. He was saying, if you come and said, if I came and said, I'm here, I'm a Pharisee. I'm operating with the Pharisees. They'd have said, oh, we know the Pharisees. And those that believe what the Pharisees believe would have accepted him. But because he came in his father's name, nobody would accept him. If he'd have said, I'm a Sadducee, they would have said, oh, we know the Sadducees. See, today you can say, well, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Baptist, I'm this, I'm that. People say, oh, yeah, we know about them. So we accept that. But if you say, I don't belong to none of that, I'm in the Father's name. Now, the New Testament church didn't have any name like that. Those apostles didn't have any name except the name of Jesus. That's all they had. Look in Ephesians right quick. Let me give you this scripture. This is important. Get it. Get it. Now, Paul is telling them, in the ninth verse of Ephesians 3, he said, and to make, he's qualifying what God's called him to do, and I'm here to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I'm bowing my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Jesus carried his Father's name. I came in my Father's name. The angel said, call him Jesus. Said, call him Emmanuel. Said, you know, what you've got to understand is he was here. He said in another place, he said, I don't bear witness of myself, but there's another that bears witness of me. He had authority, in other words. He had authority to do what he was doing. God gave him authority. He was the God of the Old Testament. He created everything in heaven and earth. He created mankind. Jesus is the image of his Father, and he was the God of the Old Testament. He was the Jehovah back there. He was their one. What he done, his Father had him do. He had the plans from his Father. He had authority from his Father. He had the name of his Father. When he came here to this earth, he had the name of his Father. And what he was telling his disciples, when you baptize people, go teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The family name. That's my Father's name. I have his name. The Spirit of God. The Spirit. The Spirit of the Father. That is part of, that's the family. When you feel the presence of God, you're feeling the presence of my Father. It's all the authority of God the Father. And he said, when you baptize people, and I'm giving you my name. I'm even as my Father sent me, even so send I you. I'm giving you authority. Now, let me ask you something. In the 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul and Priscilla and Aquila went into Ephesus and they met Paulus, Let's look at that right quick. In the book of Acts 19. It's actually in, I think it's in the 18th verse. We're in about 24. It says, a certain man named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So, you know, he knew that John was sent of God to baptize in water. And so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. See, John baptized, saying, there's another that would come after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The message of just the baptism of John wasn't the whole message. You know, that's what part of the religious world's teaching today in Christianity. They're teaching the baptism of John. Be baptized and repent, be baptized in water, and you're born again right there. They don't teach that Jesus, there's another baptism of the Holy Ghost and a baptism of fire that you need. They don't teach what John taught. John said, I'm just getting you ready. I'm a forerunner, getting you ready for the Christ that's coming and the baptism that he's going to baptize you with. What a blessing. What a blessing to have that truth, to have to believe and realize that the early church, what did Peter tell them on the day of Pentecost? What must we do, they said. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. This what you see and hear. This, he just got through telling it. This promise, what you see and hear is the promise of the Father for the Holy Ghost. That's what you're seeing, and it's for you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you'll get this. This experience that you're seeing us experience here today, this new life experience, when Jesus said, I read it this morning in the 7th chapter of John, when he said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water for the Holy Ghost. He said, thus spake he of the Holy Ghost, for it had not yet been given, or he had not yet been offered up. See, Jesus, he had to finish what God sent him here to do. His sacrifice had to be made before God could give you life. Jesus had to inherit life himself. He had to be reconciled. He was God's son while he was here, but he was going through a testing ground. And he was reconciling himself back to God from this mortal condition that he was in. And when he finished what God sent him here to do and overcame sin. And when John was baptizing in River Jordan, Jesus went down in River Jordan to be baptized of John. And John said, oh, see, his message was, there's one coming after me. John said, I need to be baptized of you. There was a few times that John doubted. When he was in prison, he sent some disciples to say, are you really the one? Jesus said, go tell John, what went you out for to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Look at all what's happened here. Get your mind back where God gave it to you. John said, I need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, that all righteousness be fulfilled. See, Jesus even had to be obedient, just like everyone else, and be baptized of John, and obey the prophecy that he gave to humble himself before the prophet of God that was the prophet for that hour. And Jesus himself went down in the water with John, but I'm telling you, I would have liked to have been there. Because when he went down in the water and came back up, the Bible said there was an earthquake. There was a shaking. That would have made you know. I don't want this building to fall down, but I wouldn't care if it shook a little bit tonight when you get baptized. But if it don't shake, just remember when Jesus was baptized of John, it came an earthquake, and there was a voice came out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. Praise God. There was a great witness that day. And Jesus, from that day, his disciples, those 120 that weren't baptized of John were baptized, and then the baptism was carried on here on the day of Pentecost by Peter, and then when they went to the house of Cornelius, Cornelius and his household received the Holy Ghost. And they said, "Wow, we didn't know God was going to include all the Gentiles, but how can we forbid water? We've got to baptize them in water. It's part of the salvation plan." And we heard them with our own ears speak in tongues. So they baptized them. They went back and told the other disciples. Said, "What was we going to do? These people had the same Holy Ghost we've got. We were there. We witnessed it. We had to baptize them." So then they understood that this was for us, not just those Jews that were there that day that heard Peter's voice, but God helped Peter to know and gave him the keys to unlock the kingdom to every man and woman on the earth. Hallelujah. God, finally, we sing a song that says, "I'm glad it reaches me, so glad it reaches me." Hallelujah. This finally reached you and I. You could have lived back when this was only for the Jews. It couldn't have reached you. You might have been connected some way, been a proselyte some way, but most of the world were so remote from the things of God that they didn't have an opportunity for this message and the understanding of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what his plan was for this world. And so, here in Acts, Apollos went to Ephesus, and then in the 19th chapter, it said it came to pass, in the first verse, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" He said, "We hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Who baptized you?" And they said, "We were baptized with John's baptism." He said, "Look, John truly baptized." You know, he began to explain to them that John baptized, pointing them to Holy Ghost baptism through Jesus Christ. He didn't go into the scripture here, doesn't go into that much detail, but when he heard that they didn't even know about the Holy Ghost, he knew whoever baptized them. My point here is Apollos didn't have any authority. He didn't even have the message. He wasn't in the name. Those apostles were in the name. They had taken on Jesus' name. They didn't have any other name. They only operated in Jesus' name. They were commissioned by him. Now, do you think just anybody coming along could have baptized you and said, "I baptize you in Jesus' name," and that would have really put you in Jesus' name? No, because they weren't in Jesus' name to put you in Jesus' name. I hope some of y'all get this, because if you don't already have it, because I didn't ever hear it when I got baptized. I just knew. They said, "You need to be baptized." And I just said, "Let's get in the water." I got baptized in Cisco, Texas, in the Cisco Baptistry. the Cisco church. They said, I need to be baptized. I said, take me to the water. I've already know enough about this to know it's of God. So, you know, if y'all are wrong on this, it's too bad for y'all, because I'm submitting to whatever you want me to do. Hallelujah. I'm glad I did. Because if I had enough, I'd get in the water again tonight. And I'm not too sure. I may have got in it again since then. I can't remember. I remember when Brother and Sister Durham come in, I remember Sister Durham getting baptized. And then I remember we had a baptism out on my farm in Missouri one year. And she came up to me and she said, Brother Smith, can I get baptized again? She said, I know I was baptized in the body, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand it. She said, I understand it now, and I just want the Lord to know that I understand it. And I want to really experience it with my understanding. I said, get your baptizing clothes on. Sure, you can be baptized. Again, some of these, who was it? Sister Amy told me, she said, if Eshon finds out that y'all are baptizing, he's going to want to get baptized again. He wants to get baptized every time he hears it. Well, don't you think that's better than a little child that don't want to get baptized? You know, it ain't going to hurt them. And whatever experience they can get out of it, of course, there need to come eventually to an understanding that if you were baptized right, your baptism's good, but there's nothing wrong with, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing your first works over again. Paul told the church, John told the church at Ephesus in one of the seven letters that he wrote to the seven churches in Asia in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, he said, Jesus told them, he said, you've lost your first love. And he said, go do your first works over. I don't know what all those first works he meant by that. I do know he meant, get back to your connection in faith, serving me with a true commitment. But if he didn't say, you know, I would have probably wondered, does he mean baptism and all? And I'd have probably said, let's get in the water. Let's make sure we get this thing right. There's nothing wrong with doing your first works over. Especially if you've kind of gone cold. I think it's good to make a new commitment, new profession. I think God loves that. He loves that kind of spirit. And so, now let me give you a scripture. Let's find that scripture in Colossians where it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, Jesus had commissioned his disciples, and they were in the name. And when you, back then, if you came into that church, the body of Jesus Christ, the ministers in that church and those that were working under the authority of a man of God, they were in the name. And they could put you in the name. But nobody else could put you in it. Nobody else. Someone somewhere else, like Apollos, that just had part of the message and was, you know, taking off and preaching a message about Jesus and, you know, and about water baptism, but he didn't really have the message. I couldn't feel that man had mission. Nobody would have commissioned him to do what he was doing because they would have known he don't know what he's doing. Somebody in the meeting in Jacksonville said, when I came to the body, I was under a man that didn't belong to any organization. These organizations are man-made. They're not biblical. There's no Bible for these organizations or denominations that are set up by man. They vote people in, they vote people out. I understand that they're operating the best they know how, you know, because they were raised up in that, the organization. You know, the mother church, the Bible talks about it. She's the mother of harlots. She's a harlot, and she's the mother of harlots. And there's other churches that come out from her that have mimicked what she done. And they set up their own ministry. They train them. They ordain them. They give them papers. Let me tell you something. Paul didn't have any papers. Peter didn't have any papers. There was no group of people that voted them in or out. They were chosen of God. I remember when I got this message, I had some license in my pocket. I was in Sister Jody's house. I remember that. I pulled them out. We throwed them in the fire that night. I set free. I said, I don't need no man's authority. God's the one that called me. And I don't need to belong to anything that man has to stamp their approval on. I was talking to somebody the other day. We may have to quit marrying you folks. Legally. Sister Tally looked at me like, what, we going to do something illegal? No. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here before long. Before long, there's going to be two men or two women come in here and say, we want to get married. And if we refuse to marry them, we're going to break the law. And so, I'll just tell you ahead of time what I see. I see in the future that we're going to have to bless you. You go downtown, you get your license, and you get married before a justice of the peace, and you come back to church. Don't consummate your marriage until you're blessed by a man of God. Come back to the church, and we'll bless your marriage. And we'll get out of trouble with the law. We won't be in any trouble with the law. But right now, I got a card in my pocket that puts me licensed. They have given me permission in the city of Little Rock to marry people. And I'm going to have to abide by their rules. And we're going to get in trouble before this is over with. I'm just going to tell you, if we don't have enough wisdom to do something to escape the persecution that's coming by this dragon system. So I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't have to bless anybody, you know, outside of our faith. But I'm going to have to, if I'm going to marry anybody else in here, according to the law, I can't refuse to marry anybody that the law says can get married. That's coming. Y'all just watch what I'm telling you. Anyway, that's just I don't mean to get off of water baptism, but you just might as well know, you know, some of these things that's going to happen. Let's see. Did we find our scripture? In the third chapter of Colossians. And the 17th verse. Says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever you do, he's talking to people in the body. They're in the name. Whatsoever you do, do it in the name. Do it in the authority. See, that's why we're the only people I know of that's really trying to operate with the revelation of the name of the body of Christ and coming outside all these other names, being a part of all this other religious system that's going to finally join up with the beast system before it's over with. They're all going to be a part of Babylon. You know, you can work out here in Babylon all you want to, but you're going to get entangled with it if you're not careful. But the Bible tells us to come out from among them and be separate. You couldn't dilly-dally with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, and the Elamites back there in those days. In Jesus' day, in the apostles' day, you had to come out. You had to come in the body of Christ and work in the body in order, under a ministry. You had to work under authority. You had to be in the name and work under the name. So when you're being baptized in water here, it's different than just believing Jesus and repenting of your sins and somebody baptizing you, saying titles or whatever they want to say over you. But there's an understanding in the Word of God that's far deeper than that. in being baptized in Jesus' name, in someone that has authority that's came out from all of the other names like Jesus. If I come in my Father's name, you won't receive me. So they'd say, well, what name are you in? I had a guy stop me in customs one time. He said, where you been? I said, been in Haiti. He said, what are you doing over there? I said, well, we had a meeting, a convention, church convention. He said, what organization are you with? I thought, uh-oh. Well, Brother Leninger was with me. We'd been traveling together. I said, well, our office is in Spencer, Oklahoma. It's the missionary work of Mission Voice. We call it Mission Voice. He said, I ain't never heard of that. What organization are you with? I said, well, this man right here is in charge. Talk to him. And so he started talking to Brother Leninger. He stamped my deal, and I walked on. Brother Leninger, when he finally got loose, he said, don't you ever do that again. I was just laughing. He told him, he said, I don't have to belong to any organization. He said, who told you we had to belong to an organization to be working for God? Brother Langer stood up to the guy. He said, who gave you authority to be here? He said, well, the United States. He said, well, God gave me my authority. I heard him talking. I thought, ooh, I better go to get the luggage. I may be the only guy to get out of here. Anyway, but Brother Langer said, from now on that card where it says, what reason did you make this trip? He said, check pleasure. I went to see my friend. When they ask you, where you been? Say, I've been to see my friends. I've got friends over there. Well, you have to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as doves sometimes. Anyway, so whatever you do, if you're in the name, you can do it. Stay under his authority. Stay in order. That's what that means. Don't get out of order. You get out of order with God, you're out of authority. You don't have any authority to do what you're doing. If somebody had commissioned you to do it, and you're not working in the name. You're working in your own name or some other name. God, I want to be in the name. I want to be in the Lord's name. And we're here tonight to baptize you in the name. Now, I generally say it. I like to say it, but you don't have to say anything. I challenge you. There's not one scripture you can find in the New Testament that says for you to say anything. When they baptized back there in the early church, they wasn't told to say anything. Just do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Brother Watson, he used to try to give this lesson on water baptism. He used to say, you can go out there and stand in the middle of the street and jump up and down and holler, I'm an elephant, I'm an elephant, I'm an elephant, I'm an elephant. And it won't make you an elephant. You're not going to be an elephant, no matter what you're saying. You can say you're baptizing people in Jesus' name and not do it, because you may not be in it and don't have authority to do it. I've been in every kind of thing you can imagine. I remember... What was his name, honey? Rudy, what was Rudy's name? And Rudy Guerra. He's still a preacher, and he had a missionary work over in Mexico, and he was in our church in San Antonio. I remember he was gone one time on a missionary trip, and his wife, they were workers in the church. His wife, she had some people cornered and got them convicted and got them down in her living room and got them to praying and repenting of their sins, and she wouldn't let them out of there. She said, you ain't going nowhere. You got to get baptized in water. They said, well, how are we going to do that? She said, I'm going to fill my tub up right now. And she filled her bathtub up and took them in there and laid them down in it and pushed them under it and baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. She was doing the best she knew how to do. She was sincere, but she was sincerely wrong. She didn't have any authority to do what she was doing. See, there's a lot of people just think that they're commissioned. You could take this and say, in fact, I had somebody, you know, at the campground last year, got up and preached. We need to take this message to the world. I got up behind him. I said, no, we don't need to take this message to the world. We aren't commissioned to do that. We need to take this message where God sends us to take it. We need to be led of God. We need to work under His authority and do His will. It's not His will that this be taken just anywhere. He told the disciples, you go into a city and they won't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. And one time he tried to go into the city and the Holy Ghost stopped him. And he saw an angel and said, told him to come over into Macedonia. You have to be led of God. We need to be men and women that are led of God. We need to be working under His authority. So when you get baptized tonight, you're getting baptized. In fact, you brother, get ready. We'll get your clothes on, and you know, we'll, and those of you that are going to get baptized tonight, go ahead and get ready to be baptized. You're making a great step in the Lord. It's something personal between you and Him. It's something that's your obedience to Him. And to want to be baptized. I asked Brother Durham and Brother Talley to do the baptizing. I gave them authority. It's just same as if I was doing it. Anybody I'm asking to do it here in this church, they work right with me, and they've got authority to work and operate here in this assembly. And so what a wonderful thing to have a revelation. I now think it's one of the greatest revelations concerning water baptism, to realize that I wasn't baptized right the first time. I was going to tell you, someone said at the Jacksonville meeting, they said, when I came to the body, we were under a minister that didn't belong to anything in religion. They didn't belong to any organization, and they were trying to operate, you know, as much as they knew how in faith and felt called of the Lord. And so they had a church, and of course they baptized everyone that they preached to there. And he said, I got baptized there, and I felt like, you know, my baptism was probably okay when I heard this message, because he said, I knew that he wasn't in any other name. They weren't operating in another name. So he said, I thought, well, my baptism's probably all right. But he said, just in case it's not, I did like you, Brother Smith. I went ahead and got baptized. I said, you done the right thing, because your baptism wasn't any good. Because that man never heard this message, and he wasn't commissioned. He didn't even understand the name or how to operate in it. And, of course, we have a vision of a restored church. We realize that there is a church that's going to be just like the New Testament church, that's going to have all the glory of God and the power of God behind it. And the full commission of God. In fact, we feel like Brother Souders got commissioned of God when God told him there's to be one body. There's to be one name. There's to be a fivefold ministry. He got this revelation. God called others in, began to give them the revelation through Brother Souders' message. Brother Souders was commissioned to do that by the Lord. And when we came in, Brother Souders commissioned us. Those that sat under Brother Souders. And then we came out of everything in the world and got a revelation of the body of Christ. And if God shows us anything else before this is over with, we're going to do that too. You know, whatever the Lord wants us to do, that's what I've in my mind to do. He ain't going to ask anything unreasonable. But we've got a great revelation today of understanding His name, how to operate in His name and under His authority and not being in any other name. And that They suffered greatly back there. We're not suffering right now for operating in His name and not taking on any other name, but we will. This body will suffer great persecution before it's over, because they're going to force us to be come under the authority of the government. That's the beast system. They're going to say, you're going to belong to this system. And every Christian group, every organization is going to join up with it. I don't know how many of y'all saw. If you didn't see it, look it up on YouTube. What was his name? What was the preacher's name that... And what was the preacher's name that I was so... Kenneth Copeland. Look it up on YouTube. Kenneth Copeland had a Catholic priest in his church recently telling them how God called him to go and be commissioned by the Catholic Church. And he said, and we all need to come together in a universal body. That's what Catholicism means. It means universal. And Kenneth Copeland, on that service, started praying for the Pope and for this universal move of God among Christians to come back together and do away with Protestantism and get back together in the Catholic Church and work together. And he started praying in tongues for the Pope and for this universal move of God. Watch it on YouTube. Go to YouTube and just type in Kenneth Copeland and the Pope. And it'll come up. You can watch it. You can watch the service. You can watch this Catholic priest that's friends of his. And Kenneth Copeland's the only man he could find to support him financially to go to Rome and join up with the Catholic Church and work for this movement of universal church and unity. It's coming. You're going to see it. That the religious world's going to come back together under a religious system that's man-made, and they're going to join up with the government, and the government's going to force you to be a part of it. That's going to be the mark of the beast. And if you, like the early church did, won't join up with that, and you've got a revelation of not taking on any other name, you're going to suffer great persecution, because they're going to say, you can't buy or sell. They're not talking about buying groceries, buying houses, but it's talking about you're not going to be able to buy the truth. You can't suffer. You've got to be a part of the system. What they tell you is okay. That makes you saved and you'll go to heaven, they'll tell you. I'm telling you, you won't go to heaven until you overcome sin and get out of the sinning business. And no man-made system can do that for you. Only Jesus and your relationship with Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ, can help you, deliver you from this sinful nature that every one of us are trying to overcome. So there's a system coming. I don't want to be a preacher of, you know, doom, but I'm just telling you, if you stay in the boat, if you stay in the body of Christ, God will protect you and preserve you, and you'll be all right. You may suffer, but the glory of God will cover you, and you'll be glorified with Him. And so you don't need to worry. God's hand will be on you and cover you and take care of you. But that's a ways off. We've still got some years ahead where God's going to bless us. He's still blessing, and right now we're not working under a dragon system where we're forced by the government. But it's coming. I can see it. And you ought to be able to see it too. You ought to be able to see that's going to happen in the future. Anyway, tonight we're just making decisions to make a profession, make our commitment and recommitments to God, and rededicate our lives to the Lord. Brother Weininger told me this morning, after the message this morning, he said, I would get baptized myself tonight if I thought it wouldn't confuse people. I said, well, I don't think it's necessary for your salvation, but I'm leaving it open everyone, you know, for God. Whatever people want to do when we have a water baptism service. We had a water baptism service one time in Fort Worth, Texas, and I don't remember. There might have been 12, 14 that was going to get baptized. I think there was 99 before the night was over. The Spirit of God got to moving. People, you know, in the congregation, they got on them. They said, "Dear God, I'm going to get baptized again. I want to make a new commitment to the Lord." Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Before it's over with, we may have 99 that wants to crawl in the water again. So praise God for these here tonight that are getting baptized in water. So let's have a song. As soon as they're ready, Brother Durham and Brother Tally are going to come. And I know Brother Joe Lacey wants to rededicate himself tonight. And in baptism, Brother Scott York has been asking me several times for 2 or 3 months. One time, somebody from the Tulsa Assembly told me, said I kept telling him when I came in, I kept telling Brother Angelo, "I want to get baptized in water. When are you going to let me get baptized in water, Brother Angelo? When can I get baptized? I want to get baptized in water." He said, finally, Brother Angelo said, "Look, if that's all you like, to make the bride, I'd do it tonight. But," he said, "we'll get to you. We'll get you baptized quick enough. But," he said, you just keep your heart to want to do that, and you be faithful to do it when we do it." But he said, "There's a lot of other things God's going to ask of you before this is over with. So just keep your heart of faith and dedication before God." And he said, "The Lord will finally get around to helping you do every one of them if you be faithful." Hallelujah. All right, praise God. Maybe we'll have some music here. And if y'all want to, y'all can. We're going to close the service right after the baptism. So if y'all want to move up where you can see or take pictures, well, feel free to move up. I appreciate these commitments and these dedications and desires to show their desire to serve God in everything and be obedient unto righteousness. Amen.
By His power, if I will be still. But by His power, if I will be still, oh, I feel His Spirit moving down in my soul. For I, Jesus, has said that I could go. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm changing
from the old.
Glory be to God, Sister Hannah. I feel good tonight. Shake hands and be friendly. God bless you this week.